Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Good afternoon, morning, evening, dawn, and dusk. You're listening to Garbled Twistery, and I can proudly announce that we have moved through half of the major presidential candidates for the very first 1788 to 1789 election. All right, so there was something I just said that I truly, truly hope you caught. Notice how I said major presidential candidates this time. Now, if you refer to what I have said earlier, I said all presidential candidates would get their own episode. But as it turns out, there's a whole bunch of wealthy nobodies who are able to snag themselves an electoral vote or two now and then. And I can't call them nobodies. I mean, they certainly weren't nobodies. It was more like they are B-list celebrities historically. Like, this podcast primarily deals with the HBO historical figures, while the other guys who got votes are like the CW, you feel me? The reason why I'm even talking about them is because I'm considering doing episodes for them, but like as a bonus content thingy, you know? That you'll probably have to pay for, because, you know, it's the B-listers that need the money anyways. But yeah, I'm thinking thoughts. They haven't materialized yet, but that's when my mind's wandering on these cold winter nights. Anyways, enough about me. Who was Samuel Huntington, i.e. Sammy Whammy Hunting Tammy? Well, his father was some guy named Nathan, and his mother was named, wait for it, Nethabel. Yes, that nonsense sounds like it came straight out of a cruddy 90s fighting game announcer's mouth. I know that sounds oddly specific, but it's so true. Listen.
Nethabel!
Anyways, he was born in Windham, Connecticut, which is now like Scotland, Connecticut. Don't ask why, unless you want to know, then ask why and I'll find out. But yeah, he was baby number 4 out of freaking 10. And unlike, I think, every single other presidency candidate so far, this dude was rocking it in public school. Oh yeah. But then he kind of dropped out because he wanted to make spoons for a living.
What?
Yet our boy Sammy just couldn't keep his nose out of those freaking books. And where did he get these freaking books? Well, he borrowed books from a group of human beings with the most predictable occupation in this gosh darn podcast so far. He borrowed books to read from lawyers. Freaking lawyers. They're everywhere, I tell ya. Public school. Latin school. Doesn't freaking matter. You're gonna run into a freaking lawyer. And guess what? The cherry on top is that Sammy over here was admitted to the freaking bar association, making him yet another freaking lawyer. I mean, clearly they don't card people at this bar association. The front door to this particular bar is a revolving one. Like, holy crud muffins. Anyways, he married a nice lady named Martha, and they didn't have kids, but they didn't need to, because, like, his brother kicked the bucket, so he ended up raising a niece and nephew like they're living in a vintage Disney Channel sitcom plot or something. Okay, so politically, this guy was climbing the ladder. I mean, he worked hard and he worked honest. The two ways to work that guarantee success in any and every field. Everybody he hung out with liked this about him. So they let him run a dinky little town on a board for a hot sec. Then they sent him to the Connecticut Assembly to do some minor stuff. But then he got elected to freaking
Governor's Council.
Then he was having a good time there. But then he got elected to his colleague's freaking
Supreme Court.
And he was the freaking Chief Justice, dude. And despite being a judge, he had some big opinions, especially about these new freaking acts from the tea sippers that were straight up intolerable. And all his shouting got noticed by the right people, and they freaking sent him to the Continental Con Part 2 as a delegate. And I mean, sure, he got some gosh darn smallpox, which wasn't any fun, but at least he got to sign his name on some fancy declaration thingy and the Articles of Confetti or whatever while he was there, you know? But you know, while he was super introverted and didn't talk much, he was just doing a good job. And he never, like, lost his temper at his friends. So when Johnny J had to, like, go run off to Spain to, like, ask for money and stuff, everybody gathered around and made Sammy the president of freaking Continental Con. I mean, for the most part, what he did was sit around and look jubilantly stressed while signing pieces of paper. But the articles of confetti did start to actually happen during his term. But yeah, he spent a lot of time either reading his books on lizards or begging the states on his freaking hands and knees to give up a loaf of bread or a farmhand with muscles or a freaking dollar for Pete's sake. So yeah, he was the Continental Con class president for a hot second. But then he didn't take his flu shot or something and freaking got sick and he had to like step down and go back to his humble abode in Connecticut or whatever. I mean, he did show up at Continental Con again, but like this was because he was super eager to get a good look at that war-ending Treaty of Paris. So yeah. A couple of years after the whole war ordeal technically ended, Sammy Hutchie decided it was about time he ought to build a freaking mansion for himself. I mean, little did he know that exact mansion would become the headquarters of a nonprofit community health center, but hey, if the house fits! But yeah, he got elected as, like, vice governor of Connecticut. Apparently everybody still liked him, because then he became the governor. I mean, he couldn't control the Connecticut Supreme Court anymore at that point, but why control people when you could control where to cut the ribbons? Ah! And much like Johnny Hanicocky, he was the governor of Connecticut for the rest of his freaking life because nobody could find anybody they liked all that much more than him, I guess. What did he do? Well, when New York and Massachusetts were a-hootin' and a-hollerin' at each other about whose land stretched out into the freaking Pacific Ocean, Sammy Hutchie made them have a little sit-down in Hartford, and he helped everybody get on the same page with that land stuff. And he did what he could to help out with this Northwest Ordinance thingy that pretty much took a chunk of land from under the Great Lakes. In 1788, a final copy of that big, fat U.S. Constitution landed on his desk, just like with Hanicocky. But, I mean, he was pretty chill about it. Connecticut being a state and not just a group of freeloaders seemed like a neat idea. I mean, honestly, that's all I got to say about the guy. He was this super chill introvert whose dad's house still stands to this day. He lived a scandal-free political life, which was a freaking insane accomplishment, if you're asking me. I mean, no wonder someone snuck his name to the goblet of presidential fire. He was such a good person. Like, he is a model example of doing good things and being good to people and not being, like, all gossipy and sassy, getting you somewhere, you know, great. You know? If you've got something to say about this episode, about this podcast, or about, I don't know, public service announcements about Purina Pet Chow, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q at garbledtwistery.net. Now on the next episode, we'll talk about number 6. He's quite the candidate. He's Benjamin Lincoln, the general guy. Jeez, that episode was short.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
A loaf of bread, or a farmhand with muscles, or a freaking dollar for Pete's sake.